The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
For many of us, raising a child can be one of the most exhilarating and exhausting experiences of our lives. It's a big job that is sometimes shared with a partner, but not always. On this edition of UWM Today, we focus on a program helping young parents to raise a child, even if they choose not to remain in a relationship. Joining us in the studio is Paul Florsheim, Associate Professor of Public Health at UW-Milwaukee School of Public Health. He's also team leader for the Young Parenthood Project, the subject of today's program. Welcome, Paul. Good to have you with us today.
Good to be here today.
So the Young Parenthood Project is really an outgrowth of work that you've been doing on the research front for many years in this area.
Yeah, I've actually been doing this research for almost 20 years leading up to the development of this program and then testing the program in different settings.
What's the genesis of this? What got you interested in looking at the situation of people who are raising kids without a partner?
Boy, that's a long story, so I'll try to be brief about this. It actually, the beginnings really came from the clinical work that I was doing in Chicago quite a number of years ago. I'm a clinical psychologist by training, and I was working with quite a number of young boys and girls and their mothers whose fathers were disengaged, and I got interested to some extent in these fathers who just were not around, and wanted to as I launched my career in academia, really wanted to study what happened to these fathers? What's their story? And could we understand or identify ways to keep them more engaged? And spent a number of years just doing the developmental work around that particular issue, and in the process got very interested in the couple, the relationship between young mothers and fathers, and then in the development of a program to help them with their relationship, their communication skills, their interpersonal development, so that they could remain together as co-parents, even if the relationship, the romantic relationship, didn't work out in the long run.
Do you find that as you take a look at these couples, you know, the young man and young woman who have a child, is there any evidence that they intend to stay together when they begin the relationship, or haven't you been able to mark that?
Oh, we spend quite a bit of time with that. The vast majority of the young couples that we work with, we recruit them before their babies are born through prenatal clinics, through schools for pregnant teenagers, through programs for pregnant teenagers, and the vast majority of them plan to stay together or at least want to stay together. And that's what I've done is identified the prenatal period as the best window of opportunity for recruiting these young fathers, these young expectant fathers, because it is truly a honeymoon period. They have the best of intentions, and the minority of young fathers who we cannot recruit are already gone. But I would say that most of these young couples are hopeful about the future, and that's supported by other research that's a far more sort of optimistic beginning than it's credited to be.
And yet they often don't stay together.
They often don't stay together. They're young. The pregnancy is unplanned. They struggle. And they often don't make it as a romantic couple. We know that to be the case. And so part of the goal of the program that I've developed is to help them weather that transition, which can be very rocky for anybody, but particularly for adolescents and young adults.
Yeah, what are the ages of the kids that you're focusing on here?
Well, when I started this work, and it really was about 20 years ago, We focused primarily on adolescents, ranging, and we identified the pregnant teenagers as being between the ages of 14 and 18, and their partners were often a little bit older, ranging from 14 to 21, for example. Over the years, as you know, and most people know, the rate of teen pregnancy has gone down significantly, which is a good thing. But it's actually sort of changed the nature of the work that we've done, because there's while there's still plenty of pregnant teens and young fathers who could benefit from this program. We've noticed it in our recruitment endeavors, the lower rates of teen pregnancy, the numbers in prenatal clinics and the numbers of schools who have these programs has diminished over the years. What's interesting is that during this same period of time, the rate of children born to unmarried parents has increased dramatically. It's I think, to some extent, one of the greatest sort of shifts in family demographics, you know, over in the last century. So that,
and that's not just teenagers. We're
no,
looking
no,
at all
yeah.
of the demographic groups.
So the right, exactly, but particularly young adults. So, you know, one of the things that people see in the paper is that about 4 to 5 out of 10 babies born now to anybody are born to unmarried parents. In the age range between 21 and 25, that's more like 7 out of 10. So the rates are quite high, and these couples, like the pregnant teenagers that we've worked with in the past, really struggle with how to make the relationship work, how to make the co-parenting relationship work.
So talk about the program that you've been developing to help those individuals, I would say couples, but they're not necessarily continuing as a couple. How do you go ahead and find a way to teach or encourage both of the parents to be involved in bringing up that little one?
Well, it's still, I would say, a work in progress. I mean, we have been doing this. The program itself has been gone through various iterations over the last 8 to 10 years, and I have a book coming out in February that is about this young parenthood program that we've developed. But I have to say, we're still developing it. The basic idea is that if we can help these young couples develop communication skills and learn to work together as a couple, and they're mostly interested in working together around their romantic relationships before the babies are born. But if we can help them just communicate more effectively, work together on whatever issues they may be facing, often, you know, because they're pregnant, it's not around parenting quite yet. It's around time they spend together, issues of jealousy and trust, issues of, you know, just coordinating their lives and working often to coordinate their family lives, their extended family lives. If we can help them with that, we believed early on that would translate into better co-parenting practices. And so we go through kind of a stepwise process, like many programs, to help them with the development of that of those skills, assuming that they're arriving at parenthood with the skills of any teenager, which are, you know, often not what is necessary to negotiate co-parenting. I mean, it's less than what's necessary to negotiate the complex process involved in co-parenting. And I could walk you through those steps if you'd like.
Yeah, give us some examples of what happens if you when you do come across that couple, the young man, the young woman, who themselves, I guess, we might characterize as children, given the fact that many of them still aren't out of their teens.
Well, so one of the things that I realized early on is that the recruitment into this. We have to sell this program to these young couples. We have to sort of convince them that this will be useful to them, and that's sometimes not easy. They don't see themselves as necessarily needing counseling or sort of thinking about the difficulties of the co-parenting relationship. So what we do is identify the pregnant teenager and bring them both in, the pregnant teen and her partner, for an interview. And then we've done randomized clinical trials. So some of them get the program and some of them don't. But at this point, we're actually providing this service in the current project to everybody who comes in. And we invite them to participate in this, explaining to them that their relationship is their child's world, at least for the first few years. The quality of their relationship will have an impact on how stable and secure that baby, that toddler, will feel about the world. And most of the young couples that we talk to get that immediately. They understand that principle of their relationship as being an important part of their child's sense of security because, you know, not long ago they experienced the same issues.
Their memories are right there of what it was like growing up in their own household.
Right, right. So positively or negatively, they get it. They understand the importance of those relationships. So if they're willing to participate, and most of them are, tailor the program to the particular young couple by asking them about their relationship goals, their personal goals, and work with them to decide on what particular skills they would like to work on through this program. And then we have kind of a menu of skills that we work with them on, often through role-playing, getting them to talk about real issues that are meaningful to them, and then to some extent instructing them on how they might approach it differently. And, you know, these couples are quite different. There's no formula. There's no set sort of – I mean, one of the things that's been interesting to me is how diverse the sample is. And so you have, you know, a couple who have a really hard time, you know, biting their tongues and letting the other person talk. And so there's a lot of conflict, a lot of arguing, and they don't listen to each other. And then you have another couple who – really have no idea what to say to each other because they hardly know each other and they're very young and they're not sort of experienced just communicating how they feel, how they think about things. And so those two couples require a very different set of skills, a different level of help and intervention. Towards the end of the program, we do a couple of things. We try to engage the extended family it's really facilitating the young couple in engaging their families and helping them communicate around this transition. They have a major role transition going on here, and the extended families can be very supportive of that, but communication is key. And then after the baby's born, we do some follow-up booster sessions to help them with sort of the tumultuous experience of having an infant, which can add new stressors and strains on the relationship.
Are these young people who are about to have the baby, do they ever look to you, the counselors, for advice on how to keep that relationship together, to maybe make them closer, to make them a permanent couple? Is there ever any desire on the part of these young folks to say, hey, how do we go ahead and get from single and unmarried with a baby to maybe married or in some longer lasting relationship?
You know, that's often an issue that's, you know, sort of under the surface all the time. And one of the things, because many of them are together, and so for some of them it's kind of a moot point. They assume that they're going to be together. And for some of them, you know, they have different agendas. You know, one partner wants to be together and the other partner is not so sure. And so we are very explicit early on in the program by saying we are neutral on this issue of whether or not you should stay together, whether or not you shouldn't stay together, whether you should get married, not married. We remain neutral on that because we believe that no matter what happens in the relationship, you're together as co-parents for a very long time, and that we want to help you develop the skills to be good co-parents to your child regardless of whether you're together in a romantic relationship or not. So we don't withhold, support or help around communication issues that are related to intimacy and connection in their romantic relationship, but we're really very clear and remain very clear about that because we'll lose them if they think we're pushing them in one direction or another. And so we don't like to push in any way on that front.
Because it has to be their own choice or else it ain't going to work, right?
Right, and they don't – I think what could happen is that they feel as though there'll be an investment that will be invested in them and their relationship working out sort of a happily ever after kind of story. And if they feel – this happens – if they feel as though things aren't going so well and they're not so sure they want to make it or they – not so sure they can, we don't want them to be for them to feel as though they're disappointing us and they'll disengage because of that. They want us to be supports for their co-parenting relationship. And we've gotten good at that over the years.
Because the ultimate goal that you folks have is to make sure that child has both parents there along the way as they're growing so that they can benefit from role models and the support of two people.
Exactly. And that child, the presence of that child, even before the child's born, is kind of a mantra that we focus on. So we bring them back. If they're arguing about their relationship and the conflicts that often occur in romantic relationships, we can refocus the discussion often by reminding them of how will they handle this as co-parents or how would they like to handle it as co-parents, thinking about the child. And that does shift the discussion often and get them invested in working things through at a different level, often much more cooperatively.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Paul Florsheim. Paul is an associate professor of public health at the Zilber School of Public Health at UWM. And today, focus of our conversation is a project that Paul is involved in, the Young Parenthood Project. Paul, you've been talking about the program and the aim or the goal of making sure that a child who is born in a relationship where the parents are not married, are not necessarily locked in together, trying to create a program that will keep both of the parents at the table as this youngster begins their life. To what degree, as you sit down and counsel these young people, and this program is primarily aimed at teenagers, as you mentioned, to what degree do you talk about money, about finances? I could imagine flashing through the head of both the young mom and the young dad is, oh my God, how am I going to pay for this? And, you want both to be involved at the table. I could imagine that how you go ahead and finance the support of this child has to be one of the points that must be the big elephant in the room when you are encouraging them to continue as partners and be jointly connected to the child.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a tough one. One of the things I want to just point out is that yes, we are focused on teens, but we're actually expanding the program at this point for the reasons that I mentioned before. Is that we want this program to be available to young adults too. So currently, we're recruiting 16 to 21 year old women, pregnant women, and then their partners up to the age of 26, with trying to sort of capture a little bit of an older group. Money is an issue for most of these couples. And one of the things that we added to this program as the program evolved was the inclusion of what often is called a case manager or what we call a care coordinator. And that person works side by side the counselor, the co-parenting counselor, to help the couple with many of the sort of life issues that are impacting them, you know, often housing is an issue, jobs are an issue, they sometimes have legal problems, managing their finances, figuring out where do they go to school, where do they put their child in daycare if they want to continue in their education, all of those sorts of things that will help them sort of launch their adult lives and hopefully be more stable financially. If you were to get a group of young fathers or young expectant fathers in a room and you ask them what do they think they need, well, we know that they'll say jobs. Help us get jobs or get better jobs. And we can't really – this program is not really set up to get them jobs, but we do our best to help prepare them to get jobs and better jobs. So keeping them in school is one thing, or helping them get back to school, or helping them get their GEDs. Sometimes dealing with some of the legal issues that they're facing, and then to some extent doing a little bit of job coaching. You know, how do they approach finding a job? Many of them are quite discouraged, and so many of the young fathers, in particular, are feeling quite discouraged about their prospects of finding jobs, and we do sort of help motivate and give them some kind of basic skills in searching for a job. But, you know, to be honest, this is really a co-parenting counseling program, and our ability to have a real impact on those larger social issues is small.
But it does point out there are other issues. It's not enough for us to say, well, they're talking to the kids about, you know, how to stay in the relationship. That old notion of a neighborhood, a community to raise a child comes to mind as we think about how many things have to go right in the lives of these young people who are expecting a child in order for them to be successful.
Right, right. So it would be, you know, kind of naive of me to think that we can sort of just focus on the co-parenting relationship and that's enough. I mean, that's certainly, we do believe that the co-parenting relationship, the extent to which they can support each other and reduce the stress of the relationship that sometimes can interfere with school and jobs and things like that, that's important. And they can support each other as they look for ways to stay in school and find jobs. But the larger context, the social context, the economic context, is really important to the success of these young couples. So I'll give an example. I mean, one of the things I started this work. I've done this work in Chicago and in Salt Lake City and now Milwaukee. Salt Lake City and Milwaukee are very different contexts. The prospects of not only getting a job, but getting a good job and sort of being able to find, you know, sort of better and better employment are much greater in Salt Lake City. It is one of the places that's been identified as where, you know, there's still a great deal of social mobility. Milwaukee, as we know, is not a place where there's a great social mobility for young people in particular, and particularly African-Americans, Latinos, they are disadvantaged, economically disadvantaged. So the struggles of Salt Lake City couples versus the struggles of Milwaukee couples are quite different. And we're still struggling, we as a program are struggling with how do we help these young couples in this more challenging environment, social and economic environment.
What sort of reaction have you had from the churches, the schools, the extended families to this type of program?
It's generally very positive. I mean, we are one of the only programs that do this kind of work. And, you know, I've had, principals, early on in the work, I mean, principals in schools where we've recruited pregnant teenagers, you know, sort of immediately get the importance of this. Prenatal clinics are quite open to this. Families are also, they're often, you know, the grandparents are often very concerned about how their children are going to make it as parents. And so usually welcome the support that we provide to them and to their children in making this transition. So generally speaking, it's you know, there's a high level of support for the program and receptivity to what we're offering. It's not always the case, but the biggest challenge is really selling it to the young couple themselves, because it's not often high on their list of priorities. I mean, they're stressed. They've got a lot of things going on in their lives. They're trying to stay in school. They're worried about jobs. And, you know, sort of spending time with a counselor is not always the highest priority for them.
Do you ever get any pressure from that adult group of stakeholders, the parents, or grandparents, the churches, to have you try to force or encourage these couples to get married?
No, I don't think I've ever. It's more the opposite. It's infrequently. I will talk to the grandparents who you know may say, well, we don't really want them to be together. We don't really like him or we don't like her, and we're not wanting to encourage them to stay together. So why would we agree to this? And you know. And this has not happened a lot, but it happens a few times. And I'll say, do you think they're going to do that anyway? Do you think they're going to stay together regardless of what you want? And usually the grandparents say, yeah, they probably are.
Do it just to defy the parents or grandparents' wishes.
Well, and I don't know that they're even doing it to defy them, but it's just this is, you know, they're, let's say, 17 years old. They're gonna do what they think is best for them, and now that they're parents, what's best for their or becoming parents, and what's best for their child. And you know, they don't want to disrespect their parents often, but they're emerging adults, and so you know what I say is that yeah, I mean if you think they're gonna see each other, they're gonna continue this relationship regardless. Our role is to give them the support they need to make that relationship stable.
Paul, just a minute left in the program. If people listening want to learn more about the work or perhaps themselves would like to get involved, how can they connect with you?
Probably the best way to do that would be to call the Zilber School of Public Health. I have a project coordinator. I haven't done this work alone. I have a great set of supports and collaborators for this work, and the project coordinator is Megan Howard, and probably the best way to learn more about this is to email her. Should I give her email?
Sure. Or just, you know what, just go to the Zilber School of Public Health website, and you could just type in Megan Howard, and the name will pop right up.
Okay.
Probably
right.
Easiest way. UWM.edu is the place to go. Terrific. Well, Paul, thanks so much. We really appreciate you taking time to share your thoughts and ideas about this great program, and we wish you continued success as you work on the Young Parenthood Project here in Milwaukee.
Okay. I appreciate the invitation, and I've enjoyed talking with you.
Paul Florsheim, Associate Professor of Public Health at the Zilber School of Public Health, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.